All right. Hi. My name is Karen O'Quinn, and I'm here to talk to you about communication matters, medication adherence, and patient-centered communication in elders. First, I have nothing to disclose. All right. So I wanted to start by talking to you actually a little bit about medication non-adherence and describing the definition that we used in our analysis. So non-adherence was defined by Dunbar, Jacob, and Schlink as the failure to adopt a medication regimen, stopping or dropping out of the drug treatment, or an alteration in dosage. So that could be increasing or decreasing a dose, missing a dose, or taking doses at an incorrect time. And this definition will really come into play during our results section. So just to give you a little bit of an idea about the scope, medication non-adherence occurs, it's estimated between 14 and 77% of older adults. However, around 50% is commonly cited in the literature. And additionally, Cooper and colleagues estimated that around 70% of medication non-adherence may be intentional. It also costs a lot. Around $100 billion annually. It's responsible for around 10% of hospitalizations each year and about 23% of nursing home admissions annually. And that's around 3 million older adults. And just to give you a little of our study justification, medication management and non-adherence is something that remains a large problem even after five decades of research. And in order to prevent it, we need to work on understanding the factors that both contribute to medication adherence and non-adherence in the elderly. And there is evidence that suggests that patient-centered communication might contribute to this. Our research questions were, what are elder and caregiver reported reasons for intentional medication non-adherence, and how does patient-provider communication impact that non-adherence in the elderly? Our methods, we conducted 9 focus groups with 65 participants. 77% were female and 82% were white. And these represented 5 rural and urban communities throughout Western and Central New York. So it was a pretty large geographic region. Our participants were recruited by stakeholders and key informants, so other community members, using snowball sampling. Focus group sessions were audio recorded, and we coded using an inductively derived code book. So that means we observed these themes and codes directly from the data. So our main results are we were able to observe 3 overarching domains or reasons why medication was observed. These were an overwhelming medication regimen, issues and experience of side effects, and then worry and concern about a medication. And I'm going to go into these domains in more detail as we go through the results. I want to show you first a visual of how we looked at the data. So this will apply to all our domains. On the left, you'll see our reason for non-adherence. So we took those group of people who reported having those specific, you know, that reason. We broke them into 2 groups: those who reported having patient-centered communication with their physician, and those who reported poor communication or non-patient-centered communication. And what we observed as we, you know, followed these people through their stories is that those who reported patient-centered communication were able to successfully communicate with their physician. And then they used that communication to work out a new regimen or gain a better understanding, sometimes change their regimen, and ultimately remain adherent to their medication regimen. Those who reported having poor communication or non-patient-centered communication often did not attempt communication or attempted and failed in that communication. And the end result was often non-adherence. We used the factors that we looked at that we considered patient-centered communication would be empathetic, people describing an empathetic physician, physicians who listened, physicians who looked at the person as a whole, and physicians who really worked with them to do some shared treatment decision making. So our first domain or reason for non-adherence was a confusing medication regimen. Our participants described difficulties managing multiple medications with varying regimens, so taking pills at different times, maybe having to take a specific food before taking a pill, issues like that. And our participants, many of them reported not feeling comfortable initiating communication because they felt maybe their provider might not understand that, you know, and or that their physicians would not like to hear that their patients were having difficulties. So they really wanted to make sure that their physicians were happy with what they were doing. So to give you an example of the kinds of stories we saw for this domain, this is a female participant who ended up being non-adherent. And she describes the regimen that she was on. She said that she was supposed to take a pill at 6 in the morning, 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., and that this was driving her crazy, and it was difficult to try to remember to do these things. So what she did is she took her pills and arbitrarily split them into two groups. One group she took in the morning when she got up, and one group she took at night before she went to bed. When asked if she had told her doctor that, she responded, "No, I didn't. I did not want to disturb him further by telling him that." And as of the time of the focus group, she'd been doing that for quite some time. On the flip side of things, we have a male participant who describes a very similar situation, an overwhelming regimen. He had a particular medication that he needed to take, an ibuprofen, a half an hour beforehand, and he had to eat a specific type of food right before he took the medication, and he felt that it was difficult to do that every day. So he actually went to his doctor and requested that they look into possibly getting him off of this medication, and the doctor said that they could try it. He said, you know, we'll give it 3 months, we'll try taking you off, we'll check your blood work in 3 months, and we'll see where we go from there. The end result was the participant was actually able to stop taking that medication. His blood work was fine at the end of the 3 months. And the way he described it, he said that he liked his doctor because he's willing to try some things. This participant was very happy that his doctor was willing to work with him on this and remained adherent to his doctor remitted medication regimen. Our next domain were patients who experienced side effects. This is a very common experience for almost all of our participants. And the reason they said they may not feel comfortable communicating about this is because they were afraid their physicians might not believe them or that their physicians might judge them for having experienced these side effects. Again, we had two groups, those who were non-adherent and those who were adherent, and this is a good example of the kind of stories we saw for patients who ended up being non-adherent. This woman was taking a medication, and she actually experienced some pretty severe side effects. She felt that by the end of the day, her feet were very swollen and heavy. It made it very difficult for her to walk, and she couldn't even get into her apartment at one point, so she stopped, attempted to talk to her doctor about this, and her doctor said, oh, it can't possibly be the medication, it has to be where you're working. So she ended up stopping taking the medication on her own, and the next time she went in for her checkup, which was several months after she stopped taking it, she said her doctor went ballistic. And she said she told her doctor, I was telling you something was wrong and you didn't listen, so I stopped them myself. She said that she felt better, her legs weren't swelling, and even though she's not a medical person, she thought at that point in time she was being a little smarter than her doctor, and that she said it was instances like this that sometimes make you lose faith in your doctors. On the other side of things, we had a participant who had a very similar situation. She was on a medication, a diuretic, and she needed to take it daily, but she said sometimes she felt her body was dehydrated and too dry. This is actually a caregiver describing a situation her mother had. But she said that she would feel like she didn't need it today. Her body was too dry, and she couldn't take the medication. So she went to her doctor. She spoke to her doctor about the situation and was actually given the okay that on those days she could possibly take half of the pill or not take the pill on those days. And she described it as instead of doing it behind her doctor's back and feeling guilty, she had permission to do that. But she knew her body and knew when she needed it, and that having that permission really made her okay with the situation and actually kept her adherent to her doctor's medication regimen. Our final domain or reason for non-adherence were concern and worries about medication. So this would be our patients who did not necessarily experience side effects, but had read about the side effects or had known friends who had the side effects and were very worried about this. And this was especially a factor in long-term side effects, such as cognitive effects or cancer, things you might not notice right away and take some time to develop. Participants said they did not feel addressing these concerns for all of the reasons we've already talked about, but also many attempted communication but felt like their concerns were quickly dismissed. So this is a good example of our participants who spoke about being non-adherent. It was a female elder who said, you know, that side effects hadn't happened to her, but she'd read about it and known about it, and she spoke to her doctor before he even prescribed her the medication about her concerns. He prescribed it anyway. She took the medication, and it worked, but she was still worried about these long-term effects. She said she spoke to him several times and was simply told she had to remain on the medication. So she ended up cutting down the medication on her own. Instead of taking it 7 days a week, she actually started taking it 3 days a week. She'd been doing that for over a year at the time of the focus group and had never mentioned that to her physician. And she actually said, if he doesn't know, her physician, if he doesn't know that, if he doesn't know about it, he won't stop it. So it's been going on for quite some time. And again, looking at our participants who were, you know, talked about being adherent to their medication, another very similar situation. A woman was concerned and worried about a medication she was on. She wasn't sure she needed it to be prescribed. She thought maybe it was prescribed to treat the effects of another medication, and it worried her. She went to her physician and she had a conversation. And her physician explained to her why she had to stay on it. She needed it because, in her words, she was a diabetic and she had to have this medication. And she said her physician then went through a whole chart of why she had to be on it. And she said at the time of the focus group that she was still on the medication. She went on to say, I like my doctor because he explains why he wants to keep me on it, and it makes sense. So there were a few caveats. First, these were patterns and themes that were observed. However, not all of our participants fit these patterns 100%. We did have a participant who was very concerned and worried over a medication she was on, and she went to her doctor, expressed that, and was told that she had to stay on it, and she did. She was still adherent at the time of our focus group. However, she was very unhappy with that result. She still had a lot of concern and worry, and had she had an opportunity to talk that through and really had explained to her why she needed to be on that medication, it might have had a chance to decrease her perception of risk and how risky taking that medication could be for her, and maybe prevented some non-adherence in the future. Additionally, many of our participants identified a subset of elders who just would not be comfortable initiating this communication with their physician. So for this group of people, the onus of communication initiation would really be on the physician and making sure that, you know, the questions are asked in as non-judgmental way as possible, including taking into account body language. So for these elders, it's just a harder subject, and it needs a lot more sensitivity. I also wanted to share with you, I feel like I've heard and read in the literature and heard people talking about the difficult patient. Interestingly enough, our participants talked about how you get a difficult physician to listen to you. And their use of strategies were not always sound, but these are strategies that people were actually advocating for. Our first instance of this, we had a woman who used documented intentional non-adherence as a tool. She actually was on a blood pressure medication. She felt like she should have a lower dose. So she went, bought a blood pressure cuff, and for 3 months took her readings twice a day while cutting down her medication to a third of what she was prescribed. She took 3 months worth of readings into her physician and said, here, I've been taking a third of my medication and here's 3 months worth of readings. In that instance, her physician said, okay, we'll cut down your medication. However, that's not necessarily a safe strategy for everyone to just go out and do on their own. And she was telling the entire group that if you want to deal with your medication, this is a strategy you should be doing. Go buy a blood pressure cuff and cut down your medication. And I mean, I'm sure she tells other people this. I'm sure that was not the first time she has told this story in her life. Another strategy was just stop taking your medication, call your physician's office after hours and leave them a message. Then they'll know that you stopped taking your medication, and it might also get the benefit of you getting a call back more quickly. Again, this could be a very dangerous strategy for people to participate in, and this is what they're telling other people to do. Finally, people said, sometimes you have to be a strong and vociferous advocate for yourselves. In the words of one female elder, sometimes you just have to be bitchy. Again, that could be a very confrontational mode that may not get the best results, but just wanted to share that these are some of the strategies our participants went for. To summarize, participants from each of the 9 focus groups identified components of patient-centered communication as positively influencing medication adherence. So these are understanding the patient as a whole, empathy, listening, and very importantly, shared decision-making. I would say the main take-home point is the patient's ability to effectively communicate with their physician and a physician's uses of patient-centered communication, that those things were identified by participants as a factor that ultimately influenced the participant's decision to be adherent or not. It also impacted whether or not the physician knew about that non-adherence. My conclusions, communication is very important. It matters for medication adherence in elders. And again, just some elders may not be comfortable initiating this communication and are very wary of judgment from physicians. And this can go into something as much as a facial expression. People would say, I don't want to tell my doctor about it because I don't want to receive the look. It's not anything anyone said, it's just a look that crosses over someone's face can prevent that communication from happening. And finally, these are findings that have real-world practice implications. So I thought they were very important to share with the group. So that's it. Thank you so much. Any questions? Yes?
Have you only worked with elders, or have you done anything with different cultures?
I can go over here. I've only worked with elders. I'm a PhD student, so I was also the facilitator. And so due to language issues, I could not work with people who did not speak English. So just I don't speak any other languages. So but right now I have only worked with elders and caregivers.
Be a fertile field for somebody to look at.
Yeah. I think in the back. It did. And in fact, people said that their pharmacist would be the first place they'd go to with issues or questions about their medication, and that the pharmacist was the most trusted place. So the majority of our participants did, in fact, say they would prefer to talk to their pharmacist and then go to their physician second.
Did anyone ever mention the fact that maybe they wanted to stretch out their medication to reduce the cost of being on
call? Yes. But surprisingly, not as many as personally I thought there would be. It came up in 2 of the 9 focus groups that cost was an issue. But it was not as present throughout and did not, it did not have an overarching presence in all of the groups. But it was an issue for some people, and some people, not so much that they were, trying to stretch out their medication, but more that they just couldn't afford to get it that month, that they might have to pick and choose. And this was especially an issue for people who were in the donut hole. And so that would be more of your middle income range group who had spent so much money, and then after they reach a certain amount, nothing's covered until they reach another level. And those people had severe issues, but thankfully some of the changes in the Affordable Care Act actually will help minimize the impact of the donut hole.
You know, I was just going to ask, if when they say physicians, did they know that to be physicians, and were there mid-level providers who might be involved in it?
I use the word physician just out of habit, but it was any provider. So sometimes people were speaking about nurse practitioners or PAs. In the focus groups, we allowed them to speak about whatever provider they were currently seeing. So.
Great. Thank you.